Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, the Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen? So you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Going to spend a little time with Jesus. In Matthew 7, 1 through 2, in the NIV, where it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. It had been a tough week. Work pressures, health challenges, and a whole lot of discouragement. By the time Friday rolled around, the only comfort measure I craved was a juicy cheeseburger from a local restaurant. My husband and I had been trying to eat healthy, but a kale salad just would not do the trick. I grabbled with weather to take him up on his offer to make a cheeseburger and french fries run. My daughter looked at me with compassion and said, "No judgment, Mom." A weight lifted from my shoulders. Her approval reminded me that I did not need to bear myself, to beat myself up for an occasional slip. The relief of not being judged made me ponder how often I had judged someone else in the past week. The friend pursuing alternative health idea that I did not trust. The parents struggled with an unruly child, or the time I rearranged the dishes in the dishwasher after my husband loaded it. Critiquing the choices of others comes far too easy. When Jesus invites me to step away from judgment, he isn't saying that my moral choices don't matter or that I cannot have an opinion, but he is calling me to examine being unduly critical of people who do things in a different way. He invites me to recognize the freedom that comes from being accepted and accepting others, especially when an occasion, Friday night cheeseburger, is involved. Sharon Hicks. Face step. Think about a time you found fault in someone else's choices. Ask Jesus to give you a heart of love and understanding. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this brief moment with Jesus. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, We come before you in gratitude for this new day. We surrender our heart, mind, and spirit to your loving care. Grant us wisdom, discernment, and strength for the challenges ahead. Fill us with your peace that surpasses all understanding. Bless our loved ones, protect them, and draw them closer to you. Use us as a vessel of your love and light, that we may bring joy and hope to those around us. Order our footsteps according to your will and shower us with your abundant blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So at this time, I will play another selection. I live for you.
behind the music page and words lose yourself. You will never cease praising you, Father. Or you will come as a full appreciation of your glory. For as long as we live to magnify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. I live for you.
God, thank you for the gift of life and for the challenges that we face each day. We are so grateful for the opportunities to grow in strength, courage, and perseverance. May we face those challenges with faith and determination, knowing that you are always with us and that all things are possible through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And right now, we're going to learn to trust in the Lord.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Trust you.
spite of all of my trials,
my God prospers.
All of my tribulations,
my God prospers.
I learned to trust in Jesus,
my God prospers.
Oh, yes, I have,
my God prospers.
Oh, fuck me out, fuck that out, fuck me out, fuck me out. Stop trusting Jesus, stop trusting me.
Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for bringing us to another Friday. You woke us up again this morning to see another beautiful day. Thank you for seeing us safely to another weekend. Our family is healthy. Our bills are paid. We have food and shelter. And we are thankful and blessed. We praise you in advance for opening doors for all who need jobs, for healing the sick, and for keeping us and our families covered under the shadow of your wings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen.
I told her we can't make it.
Right now, we are going to, I am going to read a devotional, You Got It. You Got This. And the title is What is your why? And the scripture reading for this is coming from Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and the ESV Bible. And it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does act of mercy with cheerfulness. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. So, what are you striving for in life? Is it to satisfy your own desire or to live out your God-given purpose? Sometimes, this question can be a reality check, especially when our plans don't align with God. You are meant for so much more than your earthly desires. When we surrender our lives to his glory and his kingdom, when we release our own satisfaction and glory, only then can we start to be with the idea that what we hoped for wasn't meant to be ours. He gave you wonderful and beautiful talents for you to put your unique stamp on the world and do what you were meant to do. If we all had the same job or the same duties, the world would not work efficiently. Whether you are a stay-at-home mom, a full-time student, or a hard-working professional, remember that you are doing great work. The work the creator of the universe called you to do. So when days get hard, remember, you're doing it for his glory and not your own. Praise God. You got this. When you feel pushed to your limits, sit back and remember whose you are. He's equipped you to do what you're doing. Even though you may feel like giving up some days to the one above for strength, he wants you to stay the strong woman he made you to be. Work hard. But remember, the one who got you where you are today. Amen. I hope this devotional was a blessing to you. Praise God. So again, at this time, I will play another selection.
You might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray. And the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light.
Yeah.
And it was good. Let me tell you about it. There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him.
Call on him.
Pleaded with the Lord to heal.
Call on him.
Down on my knees, I called on him. Hey.
Call on him.
All of a sudden, I heard a voice singing deep down inside. Trials and tribulations, and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing. The God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Now you keep pleading, Lord, we'll hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call on him and hear his voice. Speaking way deep down inside, he's saying,
But it will be all right in the morning. Don't be envious. In Romans 13:13, in the New King James Version says, let us walk properly, as in the day, not in rivalry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. In a competitive, cutthroat world, it is easy to become envious of others' success. But it's wrong. We know intuitively that envy is wrong. But because we are frail, imperfect human beings, we may find ourselves struggling with feelings of envy or resentment or both. These feelings may be especially forceful when we see other people experiencing unusually good fortune. Have you recently felt the pangs of envy creeping into your heart? If so, it's time to focus on the marvelous things that God has done for you and your family. And just as important, you must refrain from preoccupying yourself with the blessings that God has chosen to give others. So here's a surefire formula for a happier, healthier life. Count your own blessings and let your neighbors count theirs. It's the godly way to live. Discontent dries up the soul. What God acts, does, or requires of others, it's not our business. It is His. We might occasionally be able to change our circumstances, but only God can change our hearts. To love involves trusting the beloved beyond the evidence, even against much evidence. No man is our friend who believes in our good intention only when they are proved. No man is our friend who will not be very slow to accept evidence against them. Such confidence between one man and another is, in fact, almost universal praise as a mortal beauty. Not blame as a logical error, and the suspicious man is blamed for a meanness of character. Not admired for the excellence of his logic. Here's a thought for the day. Envy is a sin. Plus, it's a major league waste of time and energy. So get over it In Exodus 20:17, in the CSV says, do not covet your neighbor's house or anything that belongs to your neighbor. In Psalms 37:8, in the New Living Translation says, stop your anger. Turn from your rage. Do not envy others. It only leads to harm. Galatians 5:26 in the CSB says, we must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Romans 8:6 in the CSB says, for the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. Pray that the blessings of the Lord for the reading of the word. Amen. So let us pray. Dear Lord, deliver us from the needless pain of envy. You have given us countless blessings. So let us be thankful for the gifts we have received. And let us never be resentful of the gifts you have given others. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Oof, to God be the glory. It is so good to be here worshiping in the Lord one more Friday. Amen. So I hope you enjoyed this selection. Lord, you are holy.
how you could give me so much mercy. You didn't have to suffer and die for me way back on Calvary. But I just wanna thank you. I gotta thank you. Yes, I do. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Share with you a 1 minute inspiration for women. And it says, second fiddle. An interviewer asks Prane conductor Leonard Bernstein, what's the most difficult instrument to play? God, naturally, he replied. Oh, good naturedly, he replied. Second fiddle, he added. If no one plays second, there's no harmony. We need to be more than willing to be God's servant. We need to reveal in the opportunities he gives us to serve. Do you have someone you work with, serve with, shoulder to shoulder? A woman you helped as she served the Lord. The Apostle Paul said of Timothy in Philippians chapter 2, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. I have no like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Verses 19 through 20. That's 2 Timothy 19 through 20. 2:19 through 20. I pray that you spend time with a mentor in ministry and in prayer and Bible study. I encourage you to mature in your usefulness. Be content to play second fiddle. Let us pray. Jesus, you were so humble and willing to serve. We want to follow your example. Keep us from being caught up in wanting to be in charge of everything. Help us look for places to serve and uplift others. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is a beautiful inspiration. So again, at this time, I will play another selection. Amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, God Sanctifies. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 143, verse 6. And it says, my soul longs for you as a parched land. Only God can meet all your needs with his infinite power, love, and wisdom. So if you are hoping for someone else to do so, your focus is misplaced. That may be the cause of some of the emptiness you feel. This is because no person, group, or organization is equipped to satisfy you fully. Certainly not the deep inner needs that are vital to your sense of wholeness. The reach of human interaction always falls short, specifically because there are areas of our lives made to interact with God and Him alone. Amen. However, when you allow the Lord to be your source of fulfillment, His presence vastly improves your relationship. This is because He understands who you are and what it takes to fill your heart. He heals those areas of woundedness that causes you to react in fear and anger. And He gives you insight into how to love others as He does. People can and should love and help each other, but no one should ever think they can satisfy the deepest inner hungers of another soul. But God can. Look to Him, point others to Him, and allow Him to fill completely. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Jesus, thank you for understanding us. Be our source. Lord, teach us how to depend on you for our needs. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory.
And is able. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. Amen.
Amen.
He's able.
The God of love is able, yes, 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 that my God is able. Yes, I know He's able to heal you now, to heal you now, yeah. Oh, my God is able.
Sing it to them, heaven.
I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah. Able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, it's part of what you're going through, that my God is able, able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God is able. Yeah, 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 yeah. I came to let you know. He is able, whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able. Yes, my God is able. I come to let you know. You see, I tried it for myself, and I know that He's able to heal you now. Yes. Rest my head, but God is bigger. Hey, yeah. So I come to let you know tonight, there's nothing impossible for God. He's able.
At your neighbor, tell him he's able. Don't say he's
able.
He's able. Say
able.
Say able.
Say able.
Say able. Say
able.
Oh, able.
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 matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on his name. Cause he's able. Cause he's able. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yeah. Able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He's able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, I know, I can't let you know that my God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I say hallelujah, hallelujah, he is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise, somebody give him glory, give him worship. We worship you, Lord, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Amen? Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, and it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Jesus calls the people to repent. Verse 1 in chapter 13 says, about this time Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee. As they were offering sacrifices at the temple, do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Pilate may have killed the Galileans because he thought they were rebelling against Rome. Those killed by the tower in Siloam may have been working for the Romans on an aqueduct there. Excuse me. The Pharisees, who were opposed to using force to deal with Rome, would have said that the Galileans killed by Pilate deserved to die for rebelling. The Zealots, a group of anti-Roman terrorists, would have said the aqueduct workers deserved to die for cooperating. Jesus dismissed the idea that accidents or human cruelties were God's judgment on especially bad sinners. Neither the Galileans nor the workers should be blamed for their calamities. Whether a person is killed in a tragic accident or a miraculously survives is not a measure of righteousness. Everyone has to die. Jesus did not explain why some live and some die tragically. Instead, he pointed to everyone's need for repentance. No matter how or when it occurs, death is not the end. Jesus promised that those who believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life in John 3:16. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we humbly come before you in prayer. May you fill our hearts with gratitude for the gift of life and the blessings that surrounds us. Grant us strength and wisdom to face the challenges ahead. Guide our thoughts, words, and actions that they may reflect your love and bring hope to others. May your grace and peace be with us throughout this day. In your holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Some people see no mystery about the problems of suffering. They believe that suffering is the result of an inevitable law, that every cause produces an effect. They would reason that suffering is due to some great sin and sufferers has committed. Christians have a problem with suffering that non-Christians do not have. Christianity proclaims that God is love and that he loves the whole world. If this is true, why does he permit undeserved suffering? If God loves and if he has all power, then he should protect us from pain and suffering. Some have sought to solve this problem by saying that those who suffer have been guilty of some sin and have brought God's judgment on themselves. This systematic solution to a complex question is unsatisfactory and incorrect. between our entrance into life and our exit from life. We experience many kinds of pain and suffering, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, visible, invisible, recognized and unrecognized. Many suffer because of natural disasters. Many suffer because of historical events and decisions that were made in the past. Many suffer because of choices made by their ancestors. We must also recognize that much suffering comes to us because of our personal choices and the choices of others. What does Jesus teach about pain and suffering? Does Jesus have any good news for those who suffer? We will find out. My text for this message is coming from Luke chapter 13, verse 2 in the NIV Bible. And it says, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way?" And my title for this message is The Mystery of Pain and Suffering. Tonight, my message is divided into 5 paragraphs. Excuse me. Number 1, Jesus rejected the thought that all suffering comes from God. Jesus lived in a time when people were making false diagnoses of problems they confronted in daily life. Because they believed that sin resulted in suffering and that God was a just God who would punish the wicked, they reasoned that all suffering was due to God's anger. The end result of this incorrect way of thinking served to deprive believers of the comfort and encouragement they needed in times of weakness, pain, and insecurity. John 11 records that Jesus wept in sorrow when Mary and Martha were grief-stricken over the death of their brother Lazarus. We must have faith to believe that the Lord weeps with us when we experience the pain of sorrow. The fact that our Lord ministered to those whose bodies were racked with pain and whose minds were tormented with insecurity should encourage us to believe that he comes to us as well in the midst of our suffering. The prophet Isaiah had proclaimed in regard to the suffering of God's people that God responded to their plight with empathy and compassion. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angels of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Isaiah 63:9 in the NIV. We must reject every proposed solution to the mystery of suffering that deprives us of the benevolent presence and grace of our loving God. Amen. Praise be to God. Number two, Jesus rejected the doctrine that all suffering was due to sin committed by the sufferer. Jesus lived in a time when people had a very simple solution to the problem of suffering. They believed that people suffered because either they or their parents had sinned. They were concerned about fixing responsibility for suffering. But Jesus categorically denied that suffering can be traced directly to some sin in the life of the sufferer. Many of us have responded to unexpected and undeserved pain with the question, what have I done to deserve this? Often when we witness the undeserved suffering of others, we ask the question, why does a good person have to suffer while others are spared? To explain the problem of pain as always being the result of some sin that has been committed by the sufferer is inadequate and contradicts the teaching of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, Jesus called attention to the fact that some suffering is due to the cruelty of others, while some suffering may be due to the faulty construction of a tower that collapsed. Praise God. Number three, Jesus would have us reject the idea that pain is an illusion. Some people believe there is no such thing as pain, that it is a mere illusion. And they suggest that we use our minds to eliminate the negative thoughts and produce pain, that produce pain. It is true that many of our ills are in our minds. Psychosomatic illness afflicts many people. Much suffering could be eliminated if we would think correctly and eliminate negative and destructive ways of thinking, and instead fill our minds and hearts with positive and affirmative thoughts. To make pain an illusion is a form of escape from reality that will ultimately disappoint and lead to tragedy. Many have suffered the indescribable pain and anguish because they accept this inadequate and incorrect solution to the mystery of pain and suffering. Number four, Jesus would have us reject the idea that present suffering is due to evil done in a previous existence. In many parts of the world, people believe they have no personal responsibility for the suffering they endured in this life. Rather, they believe that the pain in the present is due to a life of cruelty and evil and selfishness in a previous existence. This belief leads to an attitude of fatalism and helplessness. Those who agree with this philosophy know nothing about the joy that can be experienced as a result of God's forgiveness. Amen. And my brothers and sisters, mention was made to Christ of the death of some Galileans. This tragical story is briefly related here and is not meant within any historians. In Christ's reply, he spoke of another event which, like it, gave an instance of people taken away by sudden death. Towers that are built for safety often prove to be men's destruction. He caused his hearers not to blame great sufferers, as if they therefore were to be accounted great sinners. Since no place or employment can protect anyone from the stroke of death, we should consider the sudden removals of others as warnings to ourselves. On this account, Christ found a call to repentance. The same Jesus that bids us repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, bids us repent, for otherwise we shall perish. To God be the glory. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say in my conclusion, there is no one simple solution that is always satisfactory regarding the mystery of pain and suffering. But we can be assured that our Father God will not permit any pain to enter our lives that he will not help us bear. Our Father God is no stranger to suffering. His heart has hurt with the hurt of all humankind. Our Savior is no stranger to suffering. He suffered the pain of misunderstanding, loneliness, criticism, rejection, humiliation, and crucifixion. Because our Savior has experienced pain and suffering, he is able to empathize with us in whatever life may bring to us. Hebrews 2:18. How can we cope with the mystery of pain and undeserved suffering? Let us recognize and grasp the truth that God loves us and that he cares for us, wants to help us. Let us remember that our Lord himself has suffered. Let us respond to his precious promise to be with us until the end of age. Let us secure medical service, and let us pray for our doctors and for all of those who give themselves to the healing ministry. Let us make the best of each day as we live one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Help me to think one day at a time. Thank you, Lord, because all of my hope is built on the Lord. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So won't you come to Christ tonight? And if you believe in your heart that he died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And if you want to repent, all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father God, I am a sinner. I repent of my sins. I pray you forgive me for my sins. I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, be my Lord, Savior, and friend. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I pray that your Holy Spirit takes residence in me. All these blessings I ask in Jesus' name, I pray and believe that it is already done. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you have to do is to find a good Bible-based church. Amen? A church that preaches the Bible. Amen. And my benediction for this message tonight is coming from Jude 24 and 25. And it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say, amen. I want to thank each and every one of you on social media, Block Talk Radio, however you listen to pray one for another. We are so grateful to have you tune in every night with us to hear the word of God. Now is the time for all of us to repent and turn our lives over to Christ. He is our hope. He is our life. He is our everything. So won't you, along with me, and everyone else that wants to see Christ in eternity, repent, repent, and give your life to him today. Amen. We thank you. We love you. And may God bless you. And may his light shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Amen. At this time, I will play out our selection. And we hope and pray that you will join us next week, Tuesday, at 6 p.m., when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with us in our lesson in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful and safe weekend, everybody. We love you. I am your host, Evangelist Hilda. God bless you. And good night. Rise.
Bye. thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Belongs to you. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me. As I once again follow you, I thank you, Lord.
Amen. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend, everyone. Good night. We love you.